Good day to you all, and welcome to another lovely and educational edition of This Week in Mormons. We have a wonderful special episode prepared for you today. A lot of great things to talk about.
I said good day.
Was that a little Willy Wonka right there?
No? I did. It was. That's hey, everybody. It's me, Al.
You mean man. Take a little boy's dreams and crush them.
And the
Turning human monster.
The blueberries taste like blueberry.
I like that Grandpa Joe has the guts to call him an inhuman monster. It's pretty strong.
I like when Grandpa Joe sat in his nightgown on his bed and they sang about golden tickets.
I like how four old people share a bed. And I sit there and wonder, don't their feet ever touch? Isn't that a problem?
They just
sit up all the time.
That would be terribly awkward.
They really lived in abject poverty, didn't they?
I believe the cinematography did a great job of telling that story. I was part of that foursome in that bed.
Confusing movie. People have English accents. It looks like Germany. People have American accents. I mean, I think it was intentional to make sure it didn't pin it down to one particular
place.
Well, then you
have a man who owns a world of chocolate rivers. I mean, how is that real?
Yeah, there's that. And why is he not giving half of it to philanthropy?
And Oompa Loompas? I mean, really? Australians or midgets? I didn't see that coming.
Who knew? Why in the heck are we talking about Willy Wonka right now?
Anyway, we got stuff to we got a great show.
I've been psyched for this show for weeks.
Weeks?
Weeks even, because we've planned some of this out. Unlike most of the show, which we just basically, you know, we're shooting from the hip most of the time and don't know what we're going to do.
We are defining a genre. We are creating. Don't pin us down with agendas and things to talk about.
Yeah, that is what you've said.
And
yeah.
Obviously you won't. You won't.
No. We have a great week going. I'll just give you the rundown right now. There's a new Mormon.org. We've got some funny little things talking about the probability of certain brethren becoming the president of the church.
Awesome.
Some Book of Mormon graphic novels, updates on the Gilbert Temple, and the long-awaited segment of me and my travails in Provo while I was up there the other week. And as we interviewed, it's whatever we call it, Jeff on the street. I don't know what its name was.
Jaywalking with Jeff.
I think we'll get sued for that.
Maybe. All right. We redact that. Dude, so...
So anyway,
so check this out. At church, I was chatting with my bishop, and I was kind of telling him about my rant from a couple weeks ago about the idea of closing BYU schools and sending people back home to their home states and stuff.
Yeah. That was from...
That was issued in a letter in our stake here in Colorado. Don't go to Utah. Stay here. And I was like, no way. And obviously, no one's really heeded that. Like, it hasn't been... Like, people just go anyway, right? But he was like, yeah, you know, you're in good company. You're definitely not ahead of your time. You're right in the middle of your time.
Yeah.
So I was like, I just thought it was kind of nifty that that's actually being talked about and being addressed on kind of the stake level where, you know, people see the benefit of saying, all right, you know what, like stay, invest in Institute, go find a good program and build up the YSA program where you are. I say, good work.
I say woot.
You Church of God, well done.
So, you know, it's another thing I saw this week. I feel like we've had a very productive week for all of our twimming needs and whatnot, especially because we are on Twitter, friends.
Oh, we're rocking Twitter.
What are we up to now?
How many followers in 1 week? What do we have?
Five or six. It's been wild.
Wow. Didn't see that coming.
Or it might be a little bit more than that. I'm not totally sure.
I'm logging in right now.
I'm going to beat you there.
The real twim.
Yes,
so twitter.com/therealtwim.
Yes, so we know it's a bit difficult. I think if you search for This Week in Mormons, you'll still find it, but they didn't allow us a long enough URL. So that's that. Anyway, yeah, it's been good. The 40, been
45
going
followers. We are smoking.
So check out this story. I know this isn't official on the show, but we stumbled upon this and it made me laugh. Yet again from the Mormon Times, our friends over there,
yep.
Mormon Times. There is now... A Haggoth Builder of Ships board game. Yes, sir. Many of you might remember Haggoth. You hear the name. Who is Haggoth? Maybe you remember Alma 63.
Obviously, the old ship builder in Alma, of course.
You know, the random chapter of Alma at the very, very end when they say, this guy built ships and people sailed off and we didn't hear from him again. So we assume they're all dead. That is what happens in Alma 63. And to celebrate... the death of presumably thousands of people.
No, no, no. Joseph, either Joseph F. or Joseph Fielding told the people of New Zealand that they were the descendants of Haggath.
You see the things that you know that I don't.
They did not die, Jeff. And then they went out and then they came back and took another trip. How could they come back to take another trip if they all died?
I don't know.
You.
I don't know anything. I just know
you
that
need
this
to,
game.
You need this board game. It's only $22.95 for ages 8 and up.
Oh, it looks brilliant. I think we need to get a copy. Is this? Do we have this in the twin budget?
I think we do. I think we need to test this out.
Very, very good. Very, very good.
Have you ever played like the Mormon-esque board games?
I've played like Settlers of Zarahemla and stuff like that. I'm ashamed to admit, but I have.
Dude, Settlers of Zarahemla is pretty good. There was an old one that was like what was Chris Heimerdinger's the Tennis Shoes Among the Nephites thing? There was a board game about that. But all the LDS board games I've ever like ended up playing have always been this random Mormon trivia games. Like there's very rarely like a Zarahemla Settlers of What's the normal one? Settlers of Catan?
Settlers of Catan, right? Yeah.
So the exact same game, just branded with Zarahemla. I tend to enjoy those more than, like, Martin Harris in 1835 said what
That could thing? Be a whole other game. Martin Harris and the 116 pages. See if you can make it through without losing the pages.
That'll be the next video. Dude, I even had a video game, Gideon and Robbers, on a 3.5 floppy back in the day. Like, I saw the vision. I was going there. But now look at us with Haggoth, Builder of Ships, Book of Mormon.
He's building
game.
The ships, and you get to be an apprentice in the bustling, bountiful ship-building industry.
Anyway, we'll put the link up there. You can get it at Deseret Book if you so,
much
so
want to
play. So much
great stuff out there, man. So much great stuff.
It's amazing.
Like, oh, I love it. Other than that, it's been
pretty good week all around.
Yeah, dude, saw Inception. You must see it.
Oh, I really want to. I was very excited to hear a movie being talked about that was rated within my rating scale.
And it's actually good.
Very excited about that.
Yeah, great flick. Other than that, it has been terribly hot here in California. Oy.
Dude, it was 101 last night. We went up to the mountains, went camping, but 101 down here.
On the Sabbath?
Well, I drove home, I was the designated driver, and so we had a bunch of people that had to come back to work, so I went up there and we just sat around the fire till 2 or 3 in the morning, and then I drove I've never been the designated driver, and I have to say, it is the most unappreciated calling you could possibly have in a car full of drunk people. I mean, I literally, like, when I'm a big guy, I'm just yelling at these people, just like, you shut your mouth. They're like, I want music. Like, we are not turning on the radio. You will shut
no,
your
you're
face.
Done. You're done.
And then they're, like, trying to rub my head and, like, these crazy, dude, I was just like, I will never do this again. No wonder you are not loved by your sober friends.
Or as you would say, you fatherless child.
You fatherless children.
That is very much an Al expression, I believe.
I have this thing I do where I translate any swear words like in normal conversation, so people will be talking, and I'll just mumble under my breath, poop to have sex with, mother to have sex with, you know, things like that. And people kind of get the idea that I'm not really jiving on the cursing bandwagon, and so they tend to pick up on it pretty quick, but. It's something I enjoy, and so obviously.
Speaking of not jiving on the cursing bandwagon, how is Grand Theft Auto treating you as of late? Because
sold on eBay.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, because Sony broke my PlayStation. Mandatory update. Now it's a bricked PlayStation. I was very upset. 2 hours on the phone with these people. They wouldn't even give me the name of the person I needed to call to yell at.
Down with Sony.
So.
Down with Sony.
All their games are gone. All I wanted was FIFA.
One quick thing I could comment on. We discussed, remember I was in Utah a couple of weeks ago. Last week I was back. One other thing we didn't mention briefly. We mentioned that many, many shows ago that Deseret Book had their new flagship Deseret Bookstore.
Oh, yeah. Did you go?
Of course I went.
Did you protest?
I went in. I checked it out. I will post some pictures on with the post this week, okay? Maybe they'll be on the Facebook, but they'll at least be on thisweekinmormons.com. And I took photos in the store, and I think they really wondered what the heck I was doing because I was trying to be discreet.
You're all stealth mode.
Okay, they have a giant sculpture replica of the organ in the tabernacle on the wall. they have an entire Motab section.
And
not just
I
by
said,
a nice
gotta
little,
have it.
Not just by a nice little placard, mind you. We're talking etched, carved out words all around pillars that say Mormon Tabernacle Choir in their own corner in the room. They have all sorts of stuff. Also, I was almost worried we were getting in trouble because I decided to be a 16-year-old and I took a picture of myself reading the book and they were not ashamed.
Wait, and you got in trouble for that?
I don't think we got in trouble. My friend John was, I was like, dude, get a photo of me reading this book, like with a dumb look on my face or something. So you know that that book is.
Right,
know,
right. No, no.
How it's okay to be physically intimate, basically, when you're married. And we're trying to get some good shots, and it was bad lighting, you know, just bad lighting. So I'm keep going, trying to get a shot. And finally, of course, an employee comes to talk to me and wants to make sure we're doing okay. But at the same time, you're sitting there like she totally saw.
Oh, we've all worked in retail. Please. We know what's going on.
We know what's going on, and I'm like, yep, she knows I'm just taking pictures with this book for no apparent reason. They think we're on crack. I quickly walked away and tried to look at it.
Good, safe face. Run away from the
thank you
from the book that teaches you to be not ashamed, you hypocrite.
And they were not ashamed.
You should not have been ashamed. Anyway.
I should not have been ashamed. Anyway, we've got a lot to cover.
We got a huge show.
Let's dive into this monstrous show.
All right, so check it out. So first on the list.
What are you doing? I'm number one today. Oh, I'm number one.
Pardon me.
Do you see our list and how I crossed out the initial list
and
we redid it?
Oh, yeah. And Nick's. Okay, go ahead.
Nick's, yes. Sorry, I didn't mean to have any problems. Anyway, to start off today on this random website called Zelophehad's Daughters.
Which I've been reading. It's actually very entertaining. It's like six daughters or six girls and one boy. They're all siblings and they're chumming out these. Like, they have hundreds and hundreds of articles and hundreds of comments. Like, apparently it's a pretty popular site.
It is very big. There's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff. So anyway, here's an article posted by one Ziff.
The Mail. I've researched this out.
Oh, okay. My bad. So, this is a very interesting post about church president probabilities. So this guy, I'm not even going to go into the specifics. He used a three-step method to determine, and he ran this through all of the members of the Quorum of the 15, as he calls it in the post, for lack of a better term, and how he's used this to predict who will be the leaders of the church. And using his algorithm, and it's funny because he goes back and he ran it from 1950 on, so we can go back in time, and he runs the probabilities like normal. And it's funny because he's spot on every time. You see, like, you can tell it's right around 1951 or so. All of a sudden, President McKay shoots up because he became president of the church. And all the while, you see Elder Lee is tracking high. well, you know, Richards is down there. And then you see it goes on to the 60s. McKay, all throughout the 60s, Lee is getting higher. Monson suddenly shows up on the scene.
Hello.
Oh, but then all of a sudden, was it Joseph Fielding Smith, I believe, who was after that? All of a sudden, he just comes out of nowhere by 1970. Boo! Takes over for McKay.
I love that this guy breaks it down to numbers. And he's like, all right. Check this out. I'll tell you who's going to be the prophet.
It's fascinating, and we'll link to it. And the main link will have the charts that show this. And then if you follow up early in the article, he talks about his methodology. If you click on a link to that, it says his previous post. He discusses the methodology he uses, which talks about when someone was called, the state of the, you know, the quorum at that time, the tenure, the overall age, all sorts of factors that he weaves into this. It's hilarious to read. So you get all the way up to where right now? Oh. Hunter goes up. Hunter disappears quickly. Hinckley, Monson. Monson's on the rise the entire time.
I think you could call it from the 50s and be like, hey, Hinckley, Miles, Maxwell, yeah. Maxwell.
I mean, you see right sometime around 1998, somehow Holland passes President Packard.
Now, I've been on the Holland camp for a while. I've had him picked, but all of a sudden, Bednar's trending well above Holland.
Bednar's trending very high, and of course the dots only start with the time they're called. So President Hinckley passed away. You have 2008, Monson shoots up. And Bednar is above everybody else after that. And it's funny because that's even from the moment he was called back in, what was that, 2004? Five? He's been up there. It does make sense because if you just do the numbers.
Well, it's like it's age and yeah.
Elder Bednar is like a generation younger than all the other guys. So there is a strong chance.
Then poor Elder Haight and Elder Worthlin are just like down at zero probability. They knew they weren't going.
Well, they did pass away. No. Poor Elder Cook, who is still alive today and fine, and his trend is actually going down. He's only been in the quorum for like 2 years, and he is last place.
Faust, who has passed away, is actually above Elder Cook.
I just love looking at this. I love seeing Elder Perry. Look at it. His is like a wave.
Well, so this guy, Ziff, he's done a lot of these. We're going to start picking some of these out just that are interesting to us, of like the statistics around church stuffs. Pretty smart dude, though. Props to Zelophehad's daughters. Ziff, the name Ziff comes obviously from Mosiah, I think, 28, where, or 20-something, where Noah taxes their Ziff. Just interesting name.
This cracks me up, and I like to see it. So right now, let me just give the rundown, if I could, before we leave it. The current rundown, you have President Monson at the top with a 100% probability because he's there. Elder Bednar is trending at almost about a 53% probability. And then beneath him, you have Elder Holland, who's been on a very steady incline for a long time.
Oh, he's the rising star.
Elder Packer is in slow, very subtle decline right now, and Elder Oaks passed him sometime in 2005. To go up to the top. Elder Uchtdorf is down there.
We got 4-1 on Oaks. Who's taking?
Yeah. Then we have Elder Packer. Uchtdorf down there below. Elder Anderson directly beneath him. Elder Hales still on the ascendancy, surprisingly enough. Elder Nelson, despite his age, has passed many of his other brethren sometime in 2005-2006 and is ahead of Elders Perry, Ballard, and Christopher.
I did not see that one coming.
That's amazing. And President Eyring, I'm surprised, is down there, but I guess that could be because of age and because of his...
health?
Well, no. Because of age, but where he's at with—I mean, he's in the first presidency, but as like the number apostle, he's down there pretty far. So there's just that. And then poor old Elder Cook, not even cracking 15%, Elder Cook.
But we love him. There. But we love him.
But we love him.
Quentin,
this is great. This is a terrific website. So I hope you all go check it out. It's pretty just fun to look at all this and see, based on numbers that are all subjective and nothing super scientific or official. The Lord doesn't care about this, but, you know.
And if anybody of you can actually say Zelophehad's correctly, please let us know. All right, so real quick, I wanted to there was a story in the church news about LDS Church. Well, let's see. It was Utah News, the Salt Lake Tribune. It's titled LDS Church Sees Potential in Proselytizing Online. Well, I didn't realize they were doing this, but the church has been kind of conducting experiments around online proselyting for a while. So they called, you know, they had about a dozen full-time missionaries up in Rochester in this last May, who the mission president asked them to spend their mornings or downtime blogging and commenting on various sites that mentioned Mormonism and describing their experiences on Facebook. So the mission president is one of the Facebook friends so that he can kind of keep tabs on all that and stuff. And it was, I would see that as a huge risk, man. Like some of the missionaries in our mission, they found a way to share their experiences on blogs and Facebook even without being invited. Bless their hearts. So kind of a bold move, but I don't know. I think it's cool. A while ago, I bought a car from CarMax and put a blog post up on my blog, and immediately a guy from CarMax comes in and is like, hey, you know, just glad to see you mention us, blah, blah, blah. Just a little blurb.
So weird.
But it was awesome for me because I was like, wow, these guys, they actually care. You know, obviously it was just some social media guy that had been hired to do that. But I'm imagining that they're trying to get these LDS missionaries to play the same role, essentially, of you mentioned Mormonism on a site or something, to have an actual representative come on and say, hey, if you have any questions, I'd love to answer them, would be kind of a cool reaction to a blog post or something like that. So,
yeah, this is all goes together. The new Mormon.org is a very
right. Well, so that's been kind of the trending push, right? So they started out with some of these to kind of identify the opportunity, and then in 2001 the church opened up Mormon.org for the Olympics when the Olympics were going on because they wanted a place where people could go to find out more about Mormonism. So they opened up this website and it was all right. I mean, I never used it except for the maps.lds.org type of thing to go and find your worship when you're traveling, that kind of thing. But they just revamped it. They completely revamped it. We got a couple stories on it, like kind of how they did it from an advertising and marketing perspective. A few things that were sent over to us on Twitter by like the Digital Mount, which is a friend of ours out in Boston, and a couple other people were sending it over. So there's this newmormon.org, and the whole emphasis of it, it's completely redone. If you haven't seen it in a while, go check it out. But they're trying to make it, from me as a technology buff, from my standpoint, they're trying to make it a little bit more crowdsourced and a little bit more social media-esque.
Very, very much so.
So they've got like 15 video portraits, they call them, and 2,000 written profiles of Latter-day Saints across the globe, with another 75 videos and 13,000 more profiles ready to be posted. And
it's crazy.
So you can just cruise on there and toss it up. We were looking around earlier. I mean, it'd be a great dating website if they just open up a few more searchable features. Just a few. No, I'm kidding. That's a total joke. But
legs.
But yeah, so there's yes no. they've got, like, they're saying right now online missionaries are hitting about 10,000 chats a week off of this, with 3,500 people asking for in-person visits and 1,200 going on to hear the missionary lessons in the lifetime of this site. And so obviously very worthwhile. You can almost hit chat from any page on there to get a missionary. And it's kind of cool because you can just go and read random people's experiences about why the questions it asks are like, why are you Mormon? And, you know, what is your story? What's your experience? That kind of stuff. And you can search by ethnicity, age, gender to kind of find people in your same demographic that are going through some of the similar stuff as you. So, I don't know. What do you think, Jeff?
It's good all around. No, it's the church has really been pushing forward on all of its new media, basically, over the past long while now, I guess. I do see drawbacks here. I wonder how this is going to affect stuff overall. It does take it in a very much community-driven sort of thing. Before, Mormon.org was very controlled, which is fine. It's the church's product. And sort of a simple place where one could go to find answers about basic questions about the church. And I know it still seeks to fulfill that purpose. But, of course, now it is essentially like, yeah, you're making a profile. You have pages and this and that. What I do wonder is, what is the risk that we run as far as... nefarious infiltration.
They do still monitor the site, right? Like people putting stuff in, that kind of thing. But they monitor it in certain cases. They say any place that somebody says the church teaches or anything like that, then they reserve the right to kind of revise that to properly represent the church. But if you go in and say I believe that, they claim that the monitors will just leave it alone and let it be how it is. And so, you know, I'd imagine even if there were a bunch of naysayers on there, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they let a few of them just kind of stick around as long as they were sincere, like honest questions.
Yeah. It's fun seeing this happen. You might remember Elder Ballard.
Yeah. 2008.
It must've been at least 18 months ago or so. Yep. I guess. Right. Yep. Around then, or maybe a year ago. When he talked a lot about new media and social media and using that to promote the message of the gospel. And this goes right along with that, obviously. I mean, now he talked very specifically about, you know, blogging and using your Facebook. Twitter wasn't quite, over the hill yet as far as popularity. But using those things. Now the church is just going straight at it, saying, hey, you want to do this stuff? Basically, here, bam, here's your Mormon profile. Have at it. It's funny because you might remember a long time ago, did you hear the rumor that the church was trying to buy Facebook?
No.
I heard this. Of course it's a rumor because I was like, why would the church buy Facebook? They understand it's because it's a great way to keep track of people, and especially for genealogical stuff. It makes sense. But why would the church be in the business of Facebook?
Yeah.
There's way too much questionable content on Facebook for the church to own it. But clearly... the brethren have seen that there's a benefit here of having the membership as social media becomes more and more and more popular and ingrained and embedded into everything that we do to be
well,
a resource.
It's a familiar way of doing of communicating on the internet now. It really is.
Yeah, it really is. And I feel like this is the kind of thing that is great because for a long time it felt like we were running away from technology and running away from these kinds of ideas. And it seems now that the brethren are totally going the other way and saying, look, evil is going to exist online no matter what we do. It is, and there's nothing we can do about that, but what we can do is rather than dissuade members from participating in this and that, we can provide them a channel and an avenue in that sort of social media context and blogging sort of context.
The thing I really like about it is from an SEO perspective, it like swarms or just throws a bunch of great pages to the search engine. So as you're searching for content, each of these are individual profile pages that are crawlable by search engines that are, you know, essentially amassed to a huge, huge database of or index of good Mormon content that I'd be happy to have anybody searching land on. And so I think this is a kind of a strategic move as well. And for people that are looking to use it, I mean, they let you put your Twitter, your Facebook links right up on your little profile page. So it makes it very real. And it's like a it's a Google rank or a page rank of 6 out of 10. And so, I mean, that's not a bad page to have linking to you, back to your Twitter, back to your Facebook.
That's great. This would tempt me to do it for the show, but I don't think I could conscientiously with good conscience.
I think we should go on and make
it as an avenue. I don't believe we should use this as an avenue to.
Oh, I don't think so either. But I think we can go on and make profiles. We'll share our experience. Yeah, we'll try it out. We'll tell everybody how it goes.
We'll go for it. So there it is. So everybody, if you want to line up to the newmormon.org, this is pretty revolutionary. This is big stuff. I don't want to not put enough emphasis on that. So there it is. So if we move along, Dear Al. Real quick, not a lot I can say considering this is a graphic novel of sorts. It won't really do a lot of good to talk about it, but this is Stories from the Book of Mormon, The Story of Lehi, Part 7 through 8, a graphic novel.
If Zarahemla Times and this guy could meet,
that'd be brilliant. Anywho, I guess this is current, I guess?
Ish.
It's hard to say. Nothing shows that it's not, but just the drawing and the style looks so very 60s. That's why it's
Jeff, it's art.
Anyway,
you wouldn't understand.
I don't. I'm not very artistic at all. Okay, so anyways, this is good times. This is 1 Nephi chapter 4, verses 18 through 28, which tells us the great story. I like the opening shot is that Nephi has clearly just lobbed off Laban's head. He's sitting there holding a bloody sword and... I don't know. It looks like he's holding blood in his fingers or something. I don't know.
In case you're confused, the graphic novel obviously is like a comic book rendition of the Book of Mormon.
Oh, whatever. So anyway, this is a terrific story where Nephi, once again, great dialogue. Let us join it from the very beginning.
All right.
We won't read the whole thing, but let's go. Torn between that which he has been taught to be right and the knowledge of the ultimate good that could come from Laban's death, Nephi does that which he knows to be his duty, which is to... smite Laban and take away his head. Then it says, still trembling from what he has to do, Nephi clothes himself in the dead man's garments and goes towards Laban's treasury. Who is it? Says a man with no face, apparently. Come, let me into my treasury. Oh, yes, master, says Zoram, I'm assuming we're dealing with here. And Zoram looks like a... I don't know. Doesn't look good. And he says... I just love the dialogue. You have been out very late with the elders, my master. Yes, there was much business. Here, help me with these brass plates. Help me get these out. I want to take them outside the city. Are they waiting for you? Yes, follow me. And then we go to Laman and Lemuel, who scream. Wait, Laman and Lemuel, come back, says Nephi. And then we move on to the next section. Oh, these are cliffhangers, goodness gracious. The last scene shows Nephi wearing some kind of funky outfit going, wait! Sam, Laman, Lemuel, come back. That is the end. Okay? This is like Lord of the Rings, the first one. All right? You don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. Unless you've read the book. Then it kind of ruins everything.
Yeah. And then so if you really want to get a kick out of this graphic novel, don't read your scriptures.
Listen to me, kids.
This is what Al's trying to tell you. Anyway, it goes on and on and on. What a lovely graphic novel. And he has no comments, which means I think we need to bomb him with comments.
Yeah, we will love him, just like our Zarahemla Weekly.
Everyone, please go to this website. Look at this beautiful episode. and we encourage you to leave comments. Give Phil Dalby the love that he deserves.
Yes, master.
Sorry, so you do the much
says
better one.
Zoram.
We talked about this earlier.
All right, so then what? One last one before we get into our final story. Gilbert got its temple. Way to go. With a revised 195-foot spire. They're all set to go. They move on. They cleared the last hurdle with the panel's approval. But, as a side note, the Buddhists have also proposed a temple for Gilbert. Who will win? Stay tuned.
The Buddhists?
That's all I'm saying. There's a Buddhist temple proposed for Gilbert. It'll be the town's first Buddhist temple.
We can't have that. We can't have the... Who are Buddhists? They're illegal aliens because they're Asians. They can't be in Arizona.
How dare Arizona let them in?
What is this? No. And what if the Buddhists offer sanctuary to all the illegals? I mean, 1070 goes into effect like now. This is bad.
Boy, but a hunchback would be so happy to have sanctuary. Because you can't get sanctuary in a Mormon temple. Like, imagine if you ran in and you were just like, sanctuary! They'd be like,
shh, you imagine somebody run?
If you could wait outside.
Could you please use your temple voice,
sir? If you could just, if you could just wait outside. But the police are there! Sanctuary!
And you're like, yeah, I'm running from the market. I don't know what to do.
Where's your bell tower, people?
Please, can I at least wait in the waiting room for the people that wait for ceilings in these smaller temples where they can't actually go in, but they need to be somewhere?
They're like, well, we have a visitor center where you can watch great movies called On Our Way Home.
I love the visitor centers. Oh, grand times all
around.
All right,
so now for the feature film.
I guess so, huh? Yeah, because we've got, this will be a lot to discuss here. So if you felt like you've been rushed through the previous stories, well, then deal with it.
You have.
Just how it's going to be.
We're
so,
rushing.
My good friends, we are now going to delve into the exciting world of Me on the Street.
Yes, hello, everyone. Here we are, Mormons on the Street with me. Yay!
So this was a surprisingly, my comment to Jeff, he uploaded all the stories to me. They were some of them were surprisingly sincere, which I didn't expect. I was anticipating a lot of goofy responses, a lot of kind of, I'm sorry to say, but like ignorant type responses, just very. That's what I was anticipating. It was going to be more comedic entertainment than sincere, genuine dialogue. But
yeah. So
pleasantly surprised.
Well, heck, I mean, so I will walk us through most of this segment because, of course, I was there.
And I will comment with my witty witticisms.
And you will comment. So to start it, just to start it off briefly, three lovely young men who I met on University Avenue in Provo. Let's hear what they had to say about the Mormons.
All right.
Okay. Who are the Mormons?
The Mormons, they're a bunch of weirdos, dude.
Why is that?
Just because they're all crazy. They're like...
No drinking, no none.
They don't do nothing, dude.
They just kick back, relax.
They just jog all day around Provo.
So any of you Mormon?
No, no.
Okay.
It'd be boring.
Why would it be boring?
Because, man, no parties, no drinking,
can't
no
date till you're 16.
For real. Right, let's say that again.
You can't date till you're 16 if you're a Mormon.
Yeah. What other drawbacks do you see?
I don't know. They limit themselves a lot.
How so? What do you mean by that?
I don't know, they don't do certain things that other people do, like party a lot, but I don't know, I dig partying, so.
Okay, so what do you think that the Mormons should change? What would be different to make it better?
They just need to kick back and relax, dude.
Yeah, they need to kick back.
Take it easy?
Enjoy that.
Got to kick back
and
relax.
Where are you all from?
Provo.
Salt Lake. Yeah.
Compton.
Cool. I'm from Orange County, dude, so.
Compton. That's my favorite.
My friend got shot, so.
So.
He's not from Compton.
So now you're up here in Provo. Land of happiness.
Okay, now you laugh. He seemed genuine that his friend got shot and they left Compton. It's just like the Fresh Prince, you know. Things got rough in Philly, and he had to leave.
Just like the Fresh Prince.
Oh, and first off, please let me apologize for the subpar audio quality of these. I just had a little handheld recorder to do these, so it's not great. But I tried to get it as best as I could.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it was a lot busier on the busy streets. It's a lot louder than it is when I was in quieter venues, such as this fine place. Another just fine example of the excitement people felt when they talked to me. Excitement like EFY girls. Yes.
No idea. Sorry, I was never cool enough as a kid to go. All right, let me ask you, where are you all from?
Dallas, California.
California, Texas.
So you all together? Or did you
yeah,
like,
we met
together.
Here.
We met here.
And then so we became a clique.
Yeah, and then
click?
we're together.
Not a clique.
Gaggle girls.
Where are you from? NorCal,
Sacramento.
That's okay. Both of you? I'm sorry. That's where I'm from then. All right. Anyways, I want to ask a question. Who are the Mormons then?
They're the LDS church, and we're Christians, but we have another book.
We believe in the Savior Jesus Christ and that we will be able to return to him again through his plan of salvation, and that we are his children and that we love him.
Do you have anything to add to that?
Good.
Yeah.
My testimony.
That's okay. I want everybody here, so you're not LDS?
She's
okay, so, well, what does that mean to you then? Like, what does Mormon mean to you?
They are, well, same thing, and then we're a lot more modest than most.
Ditto.
We have higher morals.
Higher morals?
Yes.
Elaborate on that. What does that mean?
Modest is hottest.
But we have standards because we believe that our body is a temple. And that we are all acting in God's name.
And we want to be thought of people and not as objects. And guys can tend to think of girls.
Being an example of our church, and when we dress like trashily or
the people not kind
of speaking with not good language, then we're kind of not giving our Heavenly Father a bad, we're giving our Heavenly Father a bad name and giving our church a bad name.
Okay. And our family.
And your family. Okay, so did you say it was when you're getting baptized or something, or are you investigating?
Eventually.
Yeah. We'll get there someday. Okay.
She's very investigating that very far.
Cool. That's great. What drawbacks have you seen, or what either from your angle, your perspective, or yours, problems in the church or something like that you think should be addressed?
I haven't seen any.
Or anything on your angle as you've been looking into
problems.
It.
That's all.
I don't know. Or any questions or anything that you felt that wasn't didn't really click with you right away or anything like that.
We had a panel today. If we ever have any questions, we just like we wrote.
So those girls were fun, right?
Yeah.
They were excited little EFY girls. I was over by the creamery. Well, so this is what I went about doing.
Well, say what you will. That was very, very simple and sincere kind of excitedness about them.
It was. You know, when you dress trashily, it's no good.
It's true.
You can't dress trashily. So folks, you might get the idea. What I did is I went out to Provo. See, we started doing this, and we wanted to be almost facetious because of the old DVD American Mormon when they went to New York and interviewed people asked people who the Mormons were, and back east in New York, nobody knows who the Mormons are. However, in the Western U.S., people do. And I figured it would be delightfully ironic to go to Provo, of all places, and then ask people who the Mormons were.
Exactly. Well, because like the New York ones and like the European ones they've done are like, what do you know about Mormons? And you just watch and like, that's hilarious.
It's hilarious. So we wanted to do this. Now, like Al said before, it was very, very interesting walking around talking to people. And I'd ask them this question, who are the Mormons? And I tried to get them to, I asked them other questions, but I tried to get them to approach things from a personal perspective. I didn't want them to just tell me, like, the Mormons are members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Right.
Like, yes, thank you very much. I get that. But it was very, very interesting, and I learned a lot in this experience. So while some of it was probably not as funny as I think we had hoped it would be going into it, it was very educational. And it was very, very interesting, and I intentionally tried to go to different areas of Provo to hopefully get a different sample based on just demography and stuff like that. This is all very informal, mind you. Nothing here is by any means scientific. So it's been very interesting to go through all of this and see what happens. So I went up to the Riverwood Shopping Center in Provo. And mind you, I confined myself to Provo only.
Right.
I did not even go into Orem. I didn't go to Salt Lake. I only did this in Provo. So I went up to the Riverwood Shopping Center. And as I ran into a number of people, I ran into this fine gentleman who was very friendly. And at first, you know, he's wondering what's going on. I found that many people were wondering if I was some sort of naysayer or trying, you know, out to get the church or something like that. So I often had to explain to them that it was a benign little podcast. So this fine gentleman here, we'll listen to him, some things that he has to say right now, basically taught me a first discussion, so to speak. Great man from Santa Barbara. So I'm going to bring this guy up here.
I love this guy.
All right, here we go.
Okay. Where are you from?
Where was I born, or where am I right now? I live in Provo.
Okay, where were you born?
I was born in Salt Lake, but we've been spending most of our life in California, the last 25 years in Santa Barbara.
Oh, that's beautiful. I'm from Orange County myself,
so. Okay.
Why would you ever leave Santa Barbara? I don't know.
Beautiful mountains here.
That's true. It's really nice right now.
And our kids can't live there. It costs too much.
It costs way too much. I think I'm permanently priced out of California as far as buying a home or anything.
Great
so.
Place to live.
All right, well, let me ask you some quick questions so you can get on your way. Who are the Mormons?
Who are the Mormons?
Here it goes.
They're a religious group of individuals who originated in Palmyra, New York in 1830, and under the leadership of a young man at the time, who was about 25 years old, Joseph Smith, and he received revelation from God the Father and the Son, and from that, he was directed to a hill nearby, the Hill Cumorah, and he unearthed the gold plates, which the Lord directed him to, and by the use of Urim Thummim, and under God's direction, he translated the Book of Mormon, which is where the name Mormon comes from, and actually the word Mormon, translated from ancient Hebrew and Egyptian, actually means more good. And so with the Book of Mormon and the revelations that came at that time, he was directed to establish and restore the Church of Jesus Christ, so that the original church that Jesus Christ had on the earth, which disbanded because of the apostasy. The scriptures indicate in the last days there'd be a restoration, and he was the one chosen to be the prophet of the restoration. That was the beginning of the church. He went from there to Kirtland, Kirtland to Missouri, Missouri to Nauvoo, and on to Salt Lake.
And so what does Mormon mean to you today in a contemporary context?
Well, I think the mission of the church is to invite all to come unto Christ. That's
an
important thing to remember, and we do that three ways, which is to proclaim the gospel through the missionaries, to perfect the saints who are members, and to do the salvation work for the dead. So that's the redeem the dead. So those are the three.
Are you familiar that they have the fourth one this year, actually, President Monson had one?
I don't know exactly.
Care for the poor
and the needy, which is, you know,
he's like, I knew
God
is that.
Love, love is God, so therefore that ties in good.
So then one last quick thing, I'll let you get on your way. What do you think is the biggest, I don't want to say problem, but issue to be addressed in the church today?
I think just educating the members of the church so that they understand clearly what the restoration is. That if you ask a member of the church, why are we different than any other church in the world? If they can't answer that, then of course, obviously, they need to sit down and talk to the missionaries.
Excellent
point.
That's
the whole mission. We want to invite all to come unto Christ, but to teach them the restoration, the gospel. If they don't understand why we're different than other churches, then of course we're in trouble. So I think it's just a matter of education.
That's a really good insight.
Getting educated. We're now the fourth largest church in the United States, second largest in California. Growing, baptizing someone every 2.5 minutes. So, I mean, it's a growing church, but I think sometimes here in Utah we find people who just, you know, haven't been missionaries, haven't been out in the mission field, so a lot of them just don't understand the significance of the restoration.
Okay. Well, that's great. Thanks a lot, sir. Appreciate
it. I love when people call not Utah the mission field.
I know. Either way, that guy, aside from the fact that I had to teach him about the four missions of the church, purposes of the church, which was just me. I'm like, this guy knows everything. And I was like, I got you. I got you on something, son. I win. What an interesting man. And I think, like you said there, like we heard there at the very end, he makes a very valid point, and that does speak volumes about what he is actually thinking about the overall missionary efforts of the church currently. Because we're in very much in the state where it's very much like we are Christians. We are one of everybody else. We are friends with everybody else. You will find greater happiness and direction here than elsewhere, but you know, we're playing, we're part of the team and this and that, which is in stark contrast to many who believe that the strength in the church is drawing out that contrast and saying, no, we are not like all of you, and there's great reasons why, and here it is. And I felt like when he was saying the members need to know, you know, understand the first vision, understand the church better, understand all these things in the history of Joseph Smith, I felt like that's what he was trying to get across to me, that same idea that we need to make sure that we understand what does make us unique.
Yeah.
So.
Well, because that's where the strength comes in the conversation, right? It's not necessarily dissenting from others or you know, having to argue with them. It's just in being able to kind of quietly accentuate the areas that we have differences or maybe where we stand apart. So. Love Santa Barbara. Love him.
Oh, Santa Barbara is great. Then as I was still walking around this lovely River Woods area, of course, it was great because first off, this felt so much like being a missionary. For those of you who have been on missions, you know exactly how it is, especially if you were in somewhere where you did a lot of walking and street contact.
Yeah,
and you and I can relate to this. Not everyone can, but yeah, this is very much like this. You know those days when you walk and you let some people pass you by, no matter, you know, this can happen to you every day, and you finally work up the nerve and just, you know, put on your game face and get going and start stopping people and trying to talk to them and this and that. Exactly the same thing. I'd be walking around and see some guy and I'd be like, no. I shrivel down and I don't talk to him. No. And I'd finally get going, got my mojo going, and I'd talk to people. And then it would go back and forth. Then you let a couple of them go by and you start to feel doubtful again. Like, no, I don't want to bug him. I don't want to get rejected. So I found this woman, and I was walking right outside of the borders right there in the River Woods. And at first I was thinking of letting it go because I was walking on a different side of the street and I didn't want to be like some freaky stalker who very clearly is making a beeline for her or anything like that. But I went for it anyway. She was a very interesting woman. She turned out to be basically a less active member at times. And the funny thing, I found that most people who had stuff to say and that had sharper criticisms of the church, as you might expect, were not non-members in general. They were less active members of the church. I don't think I ran into a single just non-member.
Sure.
Basically, they were, everyone was LDS, and they were active or not. That's what we got down to this whole day as I went around, except for the youth, like the crazy boys earlier who didn't think we partied or drank enough. They were not LDS at all. Anyway, so let's. This woman was very, very interesting. So let's hear what she has to say.
So can I ask you, who are the Mormons, or what does Mormon mean to you?
Mormon is it's a religion. It's a culture. It's a group of people living the same way.
And is there anything that, like, what makes them different from anybody else?
Just their beliefs. A lot of the Mormon religion is great, but I dislike a lot of the Mormon culture itself because it's very judging and not very conductive towards being Christ-like.
Yeah. That's for, what makes you feel that way? I don't want to take up too much of your time, but...
No, you're okay. Well, I've been raised Mormon, but I don't live it right now, and I've just seen a lot of the people trying to live their own life and be as Mormon as possible, but in doing that, they shut out the whole world. They shut out everyone else, and if you're different from them, they don't want to be friends with you or whatnot, and if that's not with everybody, but a lot of people that I've come in contact with.
And where were you raised? Where are you from?
In Lehigh.
Okay. Good times. Footloose. Film there.
Yeah.
So, do you have any other thoughts? What are bigger issues facing the church? What else do you think of?
That's my biggest issue, is just how they treat other people.
So, yeah. How you doing there?
She's all excited.
So it was, I thought it was great, though. I loved how candid she was with me.
That's just what I'm talking about, though, where it was, like, surprisingly sincere, right?
People were very sincere with me. I was this complete stranger, and I was amazed at how open they were with me about all sorts of stuff. It was wild, yeah.
But
So that was sort of the last experience at Riverwoods. There were a couple of others that were brief, if you will, but for the sake of time, we need to move right along. Then I went down to Center Street in Provo, where we had all sorts of people. So I ran into the first woman I ran into. I parked right outside that old antique store and saw her right there with some chihuahuas. Talked to her. Super interesting woman. Also a little bit disaffected. Love talking to
her.
Wait,
is this where you met the Spanish gal?
Yeah, that was the same block of hours. Okay. Yeah. But anyway, so let's hear what she has to say, if you don't mind. Good sir.
I do not.
So here she goes. Okay, she was really cool.
Okay, first off, where are you from?
I'm from Provo.
Cool. How's that working out for you?
It's good.
How's
as
that
bad.
Working out for you?
There's things to love about Provo. If you have a good attitude, you can be really happy.
Like anywhere, right? I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. So what does the term or idea Mormon mean to you? Who are the Mormons?
That's such a good question. The Mormons to me are the predominant cultural establishment of Utah. I think especially Utah Valley, like, and it's my family. It's, you know, what I was raised with.
And so what does that mean, anything else to you other than, I mean, the demography of it?
I don't want to, like, slander, but it means conservative and closed-minded to me. Yeah. That's what it means.
Ouch. Oh, that's great. That's fair. What else do you think, what should be different about the LDS Church? What do you see as a major problem that it faces? Just anything off the top of your head.
I think that it sets up an attitude of holier than thou, of
ooh.
My sins are less bad, or my sins are better than your sins. You know, my sins aren't as bad as your sins, and so I can look down on you from where I am
my
because I'm not sinning as much, or something like that.
That's,
at least that's what I come across, like, an attitude of I'm successful and I'm doing good and I will love you anyways in spite of all that you're doing wrong.
She was also just terrific. I actually spoke to her for probably 5 or 10 minutes after that, and I wish I would have been running tape the entire time, because this is where I noticed on Center Street, compared to somewhere like Riverwoods, where most people I talk to seem to be active, happy members of the church. Center Street, you got to this whole other world where most everyone there was like this grumpy, less active member whose family was active and they were the black sheep, something along those lines.
So
basically,
I was going to say Center Street is for the hipsters.
Truly it is, my friend of sir.
Truly, no, I'm just being facetious.
Truly, 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 truly. So it was really fascinating. Then I ran into this guy who was drinking. I found this other guy at first who was definitely buzzed to a degree. So I found this other guy chilling there with a beer. I was trying to get him to talk to me. They were very reluctant, which was kind of funny. They were like, no. And I said, like, they're like, oh, you're Mormon? And this guy just has this drink of, it looks like soda, and just gives it to me. And I'm like, uh-huh. Let's see what that's all about. So anyway, let's...
We had a rule on the mission that we would never contact a guy with an open container.
Yeah, generally good idea. But this, no, this was like soda. It was clearly spiked up soda is what we were dealing with here.
Okay.
Anyway, so this guy from Long Beach had some interesting stuff to say, so let's take a listen.
All right, so where are you from?
All right.
Long Beach, California.
Oh, cool. I'm from Orange County, so good deal. Okay, so what does Mormon mean to you? What do you think of when you hear that?
Mormon's a religion that a lot of people follow and some people believe in, and... it's a lot different here in Utah.
How so?
Mormons here are more hypocritical. You know, they look down upon people who don't conform. Where in California, everybody just kind of gets along and they understand.
Do you think that's because they're the majority here or something like that? Or?
Yeah, totally.
And what more does it mean to you personally then if you hear that? I mean, aside from the majority people, do you any other like thoughts, any emotions that it stirs up when you think of Mormonism?
I was born and raised Mormon.
Okay.
But I don't know, it's a good religion. It has its downfalls, but I believe in it.
And what would you want to change in? What do you think is the biggest problem or issue in the church today then?
There's so many. There's so many, dude.
And any one stick
there's
out?
So many.
Probably their views and their interaction with government. Okay. I think it should be separated, like the whole gay marriage thing and everything. I don't believe in it myself, but I think people should have their own choice.
There he is, cool. Our good friend there. So I love Mr. Long Beach Man. He said some funny things. I like that he had all his criticisms, but he said he believed it. Did you notice that?
Huh?
That he believed the church. Yeah.
Well, and I think that speaks to kind of a... It's a general tendency, though, where, like, you know, there's not a whole lot of other churches you can go to after this one. And so if you quit believing, if you quit living the gospel, I'm a firm believer that you can have a testimony and not be living the gospel.
Oh, no, totally, duh.
And so, you know, I mean, in his case, obviously, it was like I don't know. We'll see another one like this later on where it's kind of a remorseful...
Oh,
nostalgic
yeah.
look at what they believe.
Yeah, he's actually coming up in a minute. Yeah, so exactly. Yeah, so it's just the remorseful guy was very interesting to me, but we'll get to him in a second. Next guy was a guy from India. This was a great different perspective, not LDS, but in Provo and with mostly LDS friends. And so I love the stuff he had to say because it was very unique for everything else that was said throughout the day.
He was Hindu, right?
Yeah, he was Hindu, and he was an Indian immigrant. He was born out there. And he had very interesting opinions going from somewhere like India to somewhere as random as Provo. I can't imagine what the culture shock is for that. I mean, that's insane. So let's check out what our Indian friend has to say.
All right, so where are you from?
I'm from India.
Whereabouts?
Chandigarh.
Okay, cool.
That's in the northern part.
The northern part. Is that close to like Kashmir?
I love that you try and play geography.
Just like close to New Delhi.
Okay, cool. So who are the Mormons?
I think the LDS people.
Okay.
And they have...
Well, what do they believe?
Not quite sure, but I know about the church a little bit. And, I think they believe in, that we unite with God after we die, and we don't reincarnate. So, that's about it.
Okay. And what religion are you?
I'm a Hindu.
You are a Hindu? Okay, cool. Let's see. What makes you be Hindu? Like, why are you Hindu?
Well, Hinduism is more of a culture than a religion.
Okay.
So, all my beliefs and all my part of my family rituals and my, all pretty much my temple worship and everything makes me a Hindu. And my... because I don't eat any kind of meat and stuff like that, so I'm following my religion.
Yeah. And do you know many Mormons?
Yeah, I know a lot.
Being around here?
Yeah, a lot.
So are there any, is there anything you see wrong with Mormons?
One thing I see wrong is that with the girls is that they think, you know, they can only, like get married to a returned missionary, and they don't want to go out with you unless you're not a Mormon. So I feel kind of, you know, left out with some of the people, but the guys are pretty cool, and I have some friends who are not like that, so it's okay.
Okay.
Dude. He makes a good point just so far as, like, I love how he says the guys are pretty cool, you know, the guys treat me pretty fair, but you know, the girls
chicks are terrible,
dude. Well, especially in the Mormon sphere, you know. Well, there's this whole thing around dating that which you know, I'm right there too, where it's like I'm very reluctant to date a non-member just because I know the conversation that's imminent, right? And so,
yeah,
for a girl, I mean, to, like, that's got to be hard for that guy to have to, just, you know, he's like, they won't talk to me. They won't, you know, they won't touch me with a 10-foot pole because I'm not Mormon.
Also, you're tall.
Well, yeah, in my case, it's more height and maybe general lack of personal hygiene.
See, so can you imagine not being LDS at all? I mean, obviously, we can't get on people for sticking to their values. We know the risks of not dating members,
but like, obviously. There's ways to be like a good friend, right? And like be able to kind of finagle that angle and still be a great example and a good friend to people of any faith.
Totally. All right. Moving along here as we break it down here. Let's go on to the remorseful man. It made me almost sad to talk to this guy, but he was a charming, lovely man right over there on Center Street and Fifth West. I had a good time with him. So here we go.
Oh, where are you from?
Springville,
okay, cool. And what does Mormon mean to you?
I don't know. What does Mormon mean to me?
It was not totally enough.
Last for words. It's a respectable religion.
Okay.
That's what it means to me. It's a religion, it's respectable. And I don't know anybody that's a good Mormon that's ever gone to jail.
Okay.
So they live a good life, and they don't drink, and they don't drink caffeine, and they don't smoke cigarettes. And they always live closer to 100 than anybody that does.
Closer to what?
100 years old, okay. Than anybody that does.
Cool. Any other thoughts you have on personal feelings about?
Good people. I think they get a bad people talk down on them.
Yeah.
I think that's just because they look at maybe one or two and look at it as a whole, but get to know them personally, they're good people.
And are you yourself Mormon? Or
I am.
You are. Okay.
But I'm not active, and I'm not. I don't go to church, but I know some good Mormons.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, he was one where, like, he just seemed, I don't know, I got this sense that he was just kind of a very... like nostalgic about the times when he was living how he believed.
Exactly.
You know?
I got that too when I was talking to him. He was very, very friendly. And as you might even picture him, he was missing teeth and, you know, he looked very downtrodden. He was a very kind man. You know, he introduced himself by his full name and everything. And he was very happy to talk to me, an extremely nice gentleman. And that was a real pleasure to talk to him. I actually had a very good time. So that was the majority of my Center Street escapades. There are actually many other ones to talk to. I want to take credit that I basically talked to a Spanish-speaking woman, a Mexican woman, who was on, who
I want to take credit,
who apparently had been talking to the missionaries and wasn't sure about getting baptized. And through the course of our little chat on the street, she told me, yeah, she changed her mind and decided yes, she wanted to get baptized. So I should know better than to care about this from spending a mission teaching Ecuadorians, but honestly, I'm taking credit because I'm awesome. So moving right along.
But still, how cool is that, man? Like, yeah, you got to be, you know, just some random happenstance chit-chat.
Yeah, anyway. So let's move right here to Positive World. I caught this. I went down by BYU. Careful not to get on BYU property. I didn't want to get in trouble, so I was trying to mill about and not look like some sort of creeper or what have you. And I talked to a girl who basically taught me a whole first discussion, so here she is.
First off, where are you from?
California.
Whereabouts?
Sacramento Valley.
Okay.
A little place called Woodland.
Woodland, okay. Up in Orange County. All right, who are the Mormons?
Little
place called
Woodland.
The Mormons are
members
of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
But what is that, like, what does that mean? What do they believe? Who are they?
Well, we believe, we're Christians, we believe in Jesus Christ.
who believe that he's the Son of God and that he's our Savior. And something that makes us kind of unique from other religions is that we believe that there's a prophet alive today who's here on the earth to lead us and to guide us, and who receives revelation and directions from God.
What about polygamy?
What about polygamy?
Is it an issue?
No.
Why not?
Because we don't practice polygamy.
What about it?
Cool. And are there, what is it that makes you, so you're LDS, yes? So what is it that makes you remain LDS?
I would say for me, like, for a long time when I was growing up, it was just something that I did because it was something that I always did. But I think for everybody, there's a time when you have to decide if it's something that you really do believe in yourself and not just something that your parents believe in. So for me, that time came for me when I was a freshman here. When I was a freshman here at BYU, I was out from my parents' house for the first time, and I was out on my own, and I had to decide if it was something that I believed. And so I did a lot of praying and a lot of studying on my own. And I had those feelings that I believe came from God, that I didn't just make up, but actually did come from Him.
And what do you think are, in your opinion, any issues that are facing the church that aren't necessarily addressed, like what, any problems that you see?
What do you mean by that?
I don't know, just if there's anything in your opinion as a member that you see that are issues or something that needs to be talked about or focused on more or anything like that.
I love her list.
Okay, cool.
So that was good times there. Loved her so much. So very, very much. And now as we reach the end of my journey.
That was more what I expected us to get, like, in general.
And this was, it was funny because as I was closer to BYU, I got more answers like that. And the farther away I was from BYU, the more, I can't think of the word right now, but the more oppositional the responses were, if you will. So it's good stuff. So anyway, we have one last soundbite from this great... No, we have one last soundbite here, okay?
All right.
This is, I asked everyone who they thought the most attractive member of the First Presidency was. And here are your responses.
Uchtdorf.
Probably Elder Uchtdorf.
Well, I really like President Uchtdorf's accent.
Okay. I love Oak's baldness.
President Uchtdorf.
Oh, Elder Uchtdorf!
Elder Uchtdorf, definitely, he's my favorite.
Any of the accents, though.
Uchtdorf. Elder Eyring.
Everyone loves...
Brilliante.
Everyone loves President Uchtdorf. And so do we.
I love that last guy's
last
like...
Guy. Well, President...
Elder
Eyring all the way. So, folks, that's going to be it for us this week. We are out of time. So, thank you very much.
Dude, we're way out of time. That was a blast, though, man. I'm so glad that you were able to go and pull that off. That was actually surprisingly insightful. Some great criticisms, I think, of our people as a whole. You know, some of those
definitely
the quotes like around judgmental people and the very Utah.
I got so much of that too. Like that we are judgmental. It was fascinating.
Which it's easy to chalk that up to Utah, but like you see it no matter any ward you go to. There's that stigma of like just feeling like you have to fit a mold to be a member of the church. And really, yeah. I mean, in all sincerity, you really don't. No. It's not about that at all. And so, yeah, I'm glad you went and did that. It's a good reminder of really, I mean, how we need to be better examples. So cool.
I feel like I'm a better person for having done it.
Do you really? are you being serious?
It was, well, I'm being, kind of silly. But it was humbling, and it was a good reminder in many ways that Provo serves as somewhat of a microcosm of everything at large. And of course, when members of the church make up a dominant group in any one place, it's going to be like the dominant group anywhere, and those who feel like they are in the minority aren't going to feel like they're represented, et cetera, et cetera. It was really interesting to get those points of view, though, from a lot of people. And I appreciated them talking to me quite a bit. If any of you whom I talked to, I gave you information about the show when we did this. If I happen to talk to you, I hope you're listening. And I hope you like the way you were represented. It was very good. A lot of great people out there. And it was a really good experience, though, overall. That was the great thing. I went into it thinking, like, this could be silly and absurd and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
I kind of walked away from it thinking more like it was really interesting to see what people actually think deep down inside. And people really poured out some serious emotion on me. So that was cool.
Anyway, awesome, man. Great show.
Anyway, so everybody.
We're so pumped for this show. This has been great.
We really hope you all enjoyed it. If you like our brand of investigative journalism, please. We'll be happy to do more of it. And so that's going to do it for us. Appreciate you hanging with us. We know it's been a longer show. and hope you all have a terrific week. Thanks a lot for listening, everybody. Al, thank you so much for everything.
I'm out.
You're out. And again, everybody, thanks a lot. This has been This Week in Mormons. Find us at thisweekinmormons.com, facebook.com/thisweekinmormons.
Twitter
or
at TheRealTwim.
Twitter.com, yeah, slash or at TheRealTwim. And that's going to do it for us, everybody. We'll see you all next week.
Quand tu es près de moi, cette chambre n'a plus de parois, mais des arbres, oui, des arbres infinis. Et quand tu es tellement près de moi, c'est comme n'existait plus. Je vois le ciel penché sur nous, qui restons ainsi.